John Blickman joins me this week to discuss designing a home brewery. This is Beersmith Podcast number 246.
This is the Beersmith Home Brewing Show, where brewing great beer is our passion. If you want to take your brewing to the next level, visit beersmith.com, where you can download a trial version of our Beersmith software, subscribe to the newsletter, and get dozens of free articles on home brewing. And now, your host and the author of Home Brewing with Beersmith, Brad Smith.
This is Beersmith Podcast number 246, and it's early November 2021. John Blickman joins me this week to discuss designing a home brewery. Thank you to this week's sponsors, Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. Every issue of Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine is packed with articles for homebrewers and beer lovers. They offer access to videos, brewing courses, exclusive articles, and the amazing Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. Go to beerandbrewing.com to get your subscription today. And also the Brew Commander, the brewhouse controller from Blickman Engineering. It's available in electric and gas propane models. The patent-pending Brew Commander is a high-quality brewhouse controller that offers automated step mashing, boil timers, precision temperature control, and advanced settings. Command your brew day with the new Brew Commander. To order yours today, visit BlickmanEngineering.com. Again, that's BlickmanEngineering.com. And finally, the new web-based version of Beersmith is available now at BeersmithRecipes.com. Beersmith for the Web lets you build, edit, and brew recipes from any browser, including your desktop, your tablet, or your mobile device. The new web version gives you access to tens of thousands of recipes, online recipe editing, advanced water tools, and much more. You can try Beersmith Web for 30 days by setting up an account at beersmithrecipes.com. And if you have a Gold, Platinum, or Pro license, you get both Beersmith Web and the desktop version for one low price. Check out beersmithrecipes.com now to give Beersmith Web a try. And now let's jump into this week's episode. Today on the show, I welcome back John Blickman, the president and founder of Blickman Engineering. Blickman is a creator of innovative homebrewing and professional equipment like the Anvil Foundry, BrewEasy, and the new Riptide Brewing Pump. John is a lifetime brewer, frequent guest, and good friend. John, it's great to have you on the show.
Glad to be back, Brad.
How are you doing? We both just came back from BYO, so the BYO boot camp last weekend. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, it was great. Weather was great. It was, you know, great being in a live event again. And I'm dug out of all the emails that piled up while I was gone. So that's good.
That's good. And how are things at Blickman Engineering today? What are you guys been? You've been doing some innovative new stuff, right?
Yeah, we just came out with our BrewEasy Compact, and what else did we come out with this year? Our welded tri-clamp kettles.
Nice.
They're robotically welded, so the welds are just impeccable, and you know, and just super high quality, repeatable, which is great. And you know, just a smattering of smaller products like the spunding valve. Also came out with our new G4. Pressure fermenting conicals.
Oh, nice.
This year with a big suite of stuff. So yeah, I guess it's been a pretty busy year with new products. So
those are a lot of new products. Yeah. And I think you were saying things are going well with the all-in-one systems too as well, right?
Yeah, they've been pretty well received, and you know, they've been a real good product for us. And it's amazing to me how many people are starting their first batch isn't going straight to all grain. That was when, you know, you and I started brewing, Brad. It was just, you know, an odd few that actually brewed with grain. And now it's kind of, and everybody is, you know, extract, and now it's flipped on its head. It's pretty neat to see.
Yeah, it was over three quarters of the brewers were extract for many, many years. And then I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, it finally went over to where it's majority all grain. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, today you wanted to discuss how to design your home brewery. And you did talk about this topic at the BYO boot camp, put a great presentation together. You know, I know a lot of us just kind of quickly ad hoc set up in the patio of their garage, but what are some of the advantages of actually having a dedicated space for brewing?
Well, to me, I remember when I was brewing and I had everything stored in, you know, the basement of my 1919 home. you know, with low ceilings and, narrow steps to get down there. And it was always, you know, when I wanted to get brewing, it was trip after trip after trip, getting all the stuff out, you know, blowing the dust off it and getting set up and ready to roll. And I was always dreamt of, you know, having a brewery space available, you know, and even in the garage that we had, it was, you know, it was cold in the winter, hot in the summer. And, I didn't have a space where I could really set out all the ingredients and, all those pieces of equipment. So, it was really nice, when we moved, because the family got bigger, that I got a place with a dedicated space. And what's really nice about it is you can decide to brew. Everything is there where you want it. There's no big setup time. And, as I'm brewing, I'm cleaning the pieces up and putting them away, and then I'm done for the day. So I save so much time and, trips up and down the steps to get my brew day set up and rolling.
And of course, the first decision for most of us is whether we're going to brew outside or inside. Now, you can have a dedicated space in the garage, for instance. What are some of the trade-offs between brewing outside and inside?
The biggest trade-off really is getting the ventilation and infrastructure things set up for brewing inside. Because, outside you don't so much have to worry about fumes, heat, odors, those kind of things that you do inside. You know, especially, if you think you're dumping, a gallon of water vapor into your house, that's not always the best thing from a mold, mildew, and that kind of standpoint for dumping that much moisture into your house so quickly.
Right.
Not to mention the aroma that we as brewers love, but sometimes our spouses and kids aren't such fans of.
Yep, and that's a concern. And then the other thing, of course, is you got to kind of make the decision between electric and propane, right? Or gas.
Right, right. Especially if you're coming inside. Outdoors. It's when I first started brewing, I'm not sure if I knew. It was pretty rare to hear of somebody that had an electric setup. Because the whole thought was, well, it's not portable, and it's where do I get that kind of connection? And there really were no products even developed for it. So people were just repurposing water heater elements and things like that. But, now it's a lot more common to use electric, and there's products that are developed for it. And electric really lends itself to indoor brewing. And what I really like about indoor brewing is, my times that I generally had to brew were with kids' schedules, we're normally in the winter and in the summer. So I was either roasting or freezing in the garage just to get enough ventilation with propane, or natural gas. Because you've got, you only have about a third of the energy on a burner going into the liquid, and the rest goes outside. So that makes it a little bit of a problem when you go inside. Mm-hmm. Electric kind of solves that. 100% of the energy goes into the wort. You still have some, losses on the side of the kettle, but it's quiet. You don't have issues with fumes, particularly carbon monoxide, extra heat that you have to ventilate and get out of the room. It's just safer, mm-hmm. brewing. Using that inside, bringing flame inside is, you really got to be careful and do it properly, or you can create yourself a hazard. So
John, can you share with us a few of the principles or ideas that help you organize your brewery?
I really view my brewery very similar to a manufacturing facility. And like we do at our shop, I do at home. And that's a place for everything and everything in its place. And, have each workstation set up so you have the things you need right at that spot, so you're not hunting around for them. And as I also say, less is more. And that really means purge the unnecessary from that work area. If you've got, you know, piles of fittings that you just have, you know, rare use for, get them out of that area. If you have pieces of equipment stored that are in the way that you don't use often, move those things to a, you know, more of a longer term storage area, and have just handy what's there that you need.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that a lot of people think when they're setting up their brewery space is that they need a large area, and you really don't. I mean, you really want no more than like, for example, if you've, you know, your brewing area, if you've got a sink behind you, let's say, you really only need 4 feet of space between you. There's, you know, like a little kitchen design layout. I think you want less than 15 feet between your sink, your stove, and your refrigerator. And it's very, you know, and that's so you're not walking all over the place constantly to get things. And it's very similar in your brewery. Locate your sink nearby, locate your brewing, your brew house equipment nearby. And then in those little areas, place things like just the soaps and sanitizers and scrubbers that you need by your sink, and have just on your brew house area, the things that you need from the brew house. I mean, things like place to hang your mash paddle, some hand tools that you might use, screwdrivers and whatnot, but don't have entire sets or entire, combinations of every wrench and screwdriver. Pretty much know which ones you use, just have those handy. And that's pretty much how we lay out in our facility for efficiency is, you know, we have just the wrench and the screwdriver and the material that we need to build a certain product. And then we move to a different workstation to build another product. So think that way when you're laying out your brewery as well. And a good way to do that is just kind of go through your brew day. And you can do this kind of in your head, or even easier if you're actually brewing, and just write down the things that you had to get out or use during that brew day. And then also make a note of what you got out that you didn't use, or what was there that you didn't use, and consider, well, I think I'll locate that in a different area. And in my brewery, I've got, my brewing area that it's about 8 feet by 8 feet. So it's not huge. And I've got all my brew house equipment there. I've got my sink and cleaning things. And then I also have a kegerator, a horizontal freezer that I actually use as my, kind of my workbench to set my laptop on, or to measure out ingredients, or that kind of thing. But it's not very big. And all I have to do is just turn around to get to it. And one of the other things I've done is made sure that I lay out all the infrastructure in the place where I really need it. By infrastructure, I mean, where are my drains? Where is my power supply? Where is my water supply? And those in like a manufacturing environment called anchor points, where you've got your main infrastructure. And all but extreme cases, you'll leave your infrastructure there and move your brewery to those areas. And in my case, it was the main drain in the basement. I was able to tie in the sink and provide water supply to my brew house. And I use that water supply for cooling. But in my situation, our water is extremely hard, very, very alkaline. So I actually just start with RO water, because it's such a challenge to treat our city water supply.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got an RO tank, but I located that, away from my brewing area a bit, so that it's not in the way. And then I just ran a pipe on the ceiling and drop it right where I need to fill up my hot liquor tank or brew kettle. So, think through these things as you're planning where you want to put your brewery. You can still do that in your garage. There's obviously places that are a lot more temperate than, Indiana. You've got some options there. where you can do similar things in the garage, you know, because a lot of times your power supply is in the garage. So that can be pretty convenient too. You know, and speaking of power supply, if you're going to go electric, you know, that's could potentially be one of your biggest costs is getting power run over from your breaker box, your main panel, over to your brewery. Mm-hmm. But it certainly isn't a daunting expense. So,
well, let's start at the beginning. What's kind of the first step in designing a home brewery?
The first thing I do is figure out where those main infrastructure anchor points are, and then I make a scale drawing of that area on a piece of graph paper. You can lay it out on, you know, a CAD software or, you know, home software or whatever it is you want to do. But what I actually did is I just took Post-it notes and cut them to the size of the sink and mm-hmm. my brew kettle and a table and different things, so I could just quickly kind of move them around on that piece of paper and determine what's the best orientation for the different pieces that I have that I want to put in there. And that's, you know, do that on paper before you start laying things out and putting more plumbing in and that, just to realize, geez, there's really not much space in there. And then when it comes go time, you know, lay the big pieces in just to see, does it really work? Does it really fit? And then start running in things like tiling walls or running your power over, water over, those kind of things.
And I think there's a diagram here just for the video people, showing, I think your brewery, right?
Yeah, that's my brewery and how I laid it out. Obviously we've got CAD software, so I just drew it in CAD and I could move it around. But, one thing that I really wanted to do was have, you know, like I was mentioning before, you know, when you've got a workstation, have everything there that you need. One of those, for example, is, getting your grains ready for the day. So I have a shelving unit set up with different bins with specialty grains and my base malts. And the best bins, I think, are just go to a pet supply store and you can get dog storage bins. They're great because they're nice and sealed against bugs and humidity and all that other stuff. And I've got those on the floor. I've got a shelving unit with the other malts. And underneath, I keep my grain mill. So I really have everything I need. I can just stand in front of that thing and get everything out, including scales and you know, water salts and all that. So I'm just standing there and getting all those things ready for the brew day. I normally do that the day before, but have it all ready and cleaned up and ready for the brew day. And then I've got an area that's, you know, over by the water heater and furnace and all that other stuff that I've got shelving on the wall that I keep things like carboys and keg and, you know, extra clamps and fittings, measuring pieces that I don't use very often, like, you know, 2-liter Erlenmeyer flask that I'll use to make a starter, you know. So I keep those out of the area because I don't use them all the time. But in my brewery are the things that I use every single time I brew.
Now, I think you mentioned the other day, cleaning is a really big part of the brew day, especially if you're making large batches. How can you make the cleaning experience a little more pleasant?
Yeah, that was one of my other big things that I really wanted, because I distinctly remember running into the kitchen and back out and in the kitchen and back out to try to clean, you know, a big kettle in a small area. And it's just really a challenge.
I'm always cleaning them in the tub, you know?
yeah. That's another good way. But one thing that I think is really my favorite piece of equipment that I have in my brewery is my sink. And I just kept an eye out on, at my local, used restaurant supply store and got a big 2-basin sink with a sideboard on it.
And yeah, I see it here.
So I was able to get it secondhand. Not very expensive. I paid, I don't know, maybe $400 for the whole sink, but it's got, you know, a big swinging faucet. It's got a big spray wand on a hose. It just makes cleaning things a joy. And, you know, I will spray the sideboard down with sanitizer, and I can lay all my fermenter parts out and, you know, and get that assembled while I'm brewing. And, you know, it's really nice having it right there because I can just turn around and, you know, add hops or whatever as I'm going. So really, even those, the big plastic wash tubs for laundry rooms, those are great, you know, utility things. They're inexpensive, they're big, and you can, you know, just put a table next to it for laying out some of your kettles and equipment and things. But that's something I would definitely recommend focusing on. And then its related sister is a mop bucket, because as we all know, this can be kind of messy. But get yourself one of those big industrial commercial mop buckets. Yeah,
one of my favorite slides in your presentation was a picture of your mop bucket, really. So
that's right, because a lot of people don't think about that. But man, you try to mop with one of those stupid little things you use in your house, kitchen, and big difference with the big commercial mop buckets.
And of course, you talked a little bit about this earlier, but you want to have easy access to the water supply and a drain nearby, so you're not, you know, moving giant piles of water or wort around, right?
Right, or having hoses running through the house and all that. So one of the reasons that I wanted to move my brewery over by my the main home drain was I could put in a hose connection on the side of that and drain my cooling water right down that that opening.
Right.
And then, you know, my water supply happened to be right next to that as well. So it just was real convenient. I've got just a few 4-foot hoses that I connect up my my counterflow chiller with. It works great.
Another key consideration, you did mention a little bit earlier, but ventilation is really important for an indoor brewery, and even an outdoor brewery, you do have to consider proper ventilation, right?
That's right. you can check in Brew Your Own magazine. I did an article a few years back on ventilation that's got lots of detail on that. But you know, the elements are, you've got to get rid of, you know, if you're going to use a burner indoor, you've got to remove the heat, remove the steam, the odors, and of course, any harmful fumes. If you're going electric, you really have mostly the steam and fumes to deal with. The heat is a much more minor detail because you're not having so much waste heat from the burner. And then, of course, you don't have to worry about harmful fumes. It's also convenient having electric because they pipe it right to your house. You don't need to run out and get tanks of propane or run out mid batch. So,
what are some of the ways you can do that, though?
Yeah, the easiest way is with a hood, and I've seen hoods that, you know, are big commercial hoods that, again, you can get at those restaurant supply stores. I've seen them made out of plywood or hand fabricated out of steel. And there's, you know, requirements for about how many CFM you need. And again, that article really covers that. But you'd really need, you know, for a gas setup, you know, somewhere in that 700 to, you know, 1200 CFM. Which is a lot, yeah. And you also would need some kind of air makeup, because if you've got a big fan moving, it's got to get its air from somewhere. So it's going to be drawing it from your house. And it's really handy if you've got, you know, a window access, because not only can you use that for makeup air, but you can also use that to discharge the heat outside. I didn't have any windows in my basement, so I had to come through a joist cavity and vent it outside. And I just put a door hatch, little steel door hatch that I got off of McMaster Car or somewhere, and install that. It works great. You can get, you know, McMaster Car, I swear you could build the entire space shuttle out of that. That thing. Boy, that dated me. The space shuttle. Gee. But anyway, that's a great place to get vent fans, silencers, because they can tend to be a little loud. Duct pieces you can usually get at your local home improvement store. But again, that'd be something that you look at infrastructure-wise. How are you going to get fumes out of your brewing area? Which then brings us to another thing. If you are using electric, lately we've been seeing a lot of steam condensers. We've been selling steam condensers for quite some time on our commercial.
Yeah, and I wasn't really aware of this, but you can apparently condense it right down, right?
Yeah. So it basically just looks like a T that you connect to the top of your boil kettle with the lid on. So you have to have a lid that's got a hole in it, and most of them would be tri-clamp fitted. But it's pretty hot, so PVC isn't going to work because it'll just sag and melt because you're at the full boiling temperature. But what you do is you have a little misting condenser that's inside, after the steam comes out of the kettle. And that those little misters, if you've ever been to, like a county fair or, Disney or something in the summer, they just put this little mist out to just kind of cool you off. Well, what that really does inside the main drain tube, and it's a vertical tube, is as the steam comes through and it hits that cold mist, it causes that steam to condense, because that steam is, right at the boiling condensing point. And that will condense it, and it actually draws a small vacuum inside of your kettle, so it just kind of continues to pull it out. And that's how it does a pretty effective job still of getting the DMS out of your wort. And if you collect that in a bucket, you'll get a definite idea of what DMS smells like when you smell the condensed liquid. The only real drawback with them is you do have to have a water supply handy. And it does use a considerable amount of water, roughly you could say about twice your finished batch size that would use in water to cool the steam in a, in a 1 hour boil.
I guess that the water actually forms a vacuum, right? So it's actually pulling the steam out, right?
Yeah. As it, so the gas, the steam vapors, as you cool them, they condense and that just creates a vacuum that draws more steam from the boil into the condenser. But it works pretty neat. They've been using them for commercial breweries for a long, long time. Especially for those that can't get a wall penetration through a ceiling or out the side of a building, will opt for going with these steam condensers.
Another consideration for an electric brewery is a GFCI, and I was wondering, you kind of hinted at it earlier, pulling electricity to different spots, but whether you're going 110 or 220, you do need a GFCI, right?
That's right, and the main reason, GFCI is a ground fault circuit interrupter, and it's really looking for a difference in current between your ground and your neutral, which basically means if there's any kind of short circuit, even a small short circuit happening, it's going to trip the breaker open for safety. And you'll see, these things really started for people or in residences where there were, any plug next to, bathtubs or next to, sinks.
Yeah, I was going to say anybody that's got a modern home has a GFCIs, near their sink, right?
Right. And, this is, very similar. You don't need one on your water heater because you can't stick your hand inside of your water heater, So on a open brew kettle, very important to run a GFCI because, that it's an open top kettle and, safety is paramount with all of those things. And, if you're not familiar with wiring, definitely hire a licensed electrician. Don't recommend you have a buddy who wired something up once in his house because there's just local codes and safety to make sure that you've got this installed properly. Definitely worth the investment.
And this is important too. If you have the higher voltage system, the 220, you don't want to just like plug it into your dryer outlet, right? Because there's no GFCI there.
No. Now that is a convenient place. Your dryer, your oven, stove, those places are a convenient place to pull electric from. Mm-hmm. But what you would want to do is have an electrician come in and change that breaker out from a standard breaker to a ground fault breaker. They're they're not terribly inexpensive or terribly expensive. They're in the neighborhood of $50 for a 240 volt breaker.
Right. But it's very important piece of safety equipment, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, and speaking of safety, you know, I always try to take opportunities, to talk to people about wearing proper clothing. I can't believe the number of pictures I see, on Facebook with people brewing with flip-flops and shorts and, little kids and pets running around. And, this is a pretty serious thing that we're doing here with lots of boiling liquids. I say no shirt, no shoes means you have no brains, and dude, wear pants. And one of the last ones is, you want to win a brewing award, not a Darwin award. So, don't drink while you're brewing, save that for afterwards. Just always have that safety focus and realize that you're working with hot boiling things that can scorch and scald and burn you. So, just be very careful.
But safety considerations come into play when you're actually designing the brewery too, right?
On flooring, just slips and falls probably is one of the, more challenging things because you've got wet floors, you've got, slippery cleaners, and I prefer and highly recommend epoxy garage floor paint or coatings. I like them because they have those little crumbly things that you can drop in there that acts as a no slip. You can even add grit like coarse sand and things like that onto it that really makes it no slip, and they're incredibly resistant to every kind of brewing chemical and cleaner and heat that I've had mine in for he's going on 10 years now probably, and they still look brand new. So it's just a great option. It's fairly inexpensive. I do recommend the ones that have the most warning on the labels because they're actual true two-part epoxies versus the waterborne epoxies. And they just tend to be a little bit more durable, but you do have to pay attention to the warning labels. So,
yeah. Some other safety tips, John, I think you had a list of them here.
Always have, never lift big, heavy kettles. It's just a problem waiting to happen. Not only, injuring your back, but, slipping, hitting something and, having hot liquid spill on you. And always use a long-sleeved, heavy neoprene glove when you're handling anything hot, like a kettle or stirring or anything like that, because it'll really keep any splash liquids off of your skin. Always have a fire extinguisher nearby if you're, you're brewing with flame. Don't do dumb things like, bring your burner onto a wood porch. You're just asking for problems there. So make sure you're on a nice hard concrete or asphalt surface. Some of the other things I say is too, if you're brewing, have a carbon monoxide detector there unless you're using electric, because that's a gas you can't smell and it can sneak up on you. Especially if you're in the cold and you've kind of got your garage door partially closed. Some of the other things are glass carboys. Used to be that's kind of all we really had to brew with, but now with the PET carboys, they're about the same price as the glass now. Highly recommend those. They do a more than adequate job of keeping oxygen out of your beer as far as oxygen permeability. But they're just a lot safer, moving them around, and they're also lighter. So, just kind of those glass things, just be very careful. We've all probably seen the nasty cuts, and, you can do some pretty serious permanent damage with those big deep glass cuts. So just be careful there.
Not to mention it makes a big mess when you break one.
Oh Lordy. Yes. Yeah. Especially if it's, full. A glass carboy full of red wine.
Yeah. You also want to have your other tools and equipment organized and handy. And what are some of the ways to do that?
I just have, again, it's like, where are you using them? So I've got, I'm assembling my kettles or, putting the fittings on or whatever, on on my, I've got a table in my area. So I put some wrenches, a little rack that I have that I just hang wrenches on, and a little cup that's there that has my, Phillips and a flat blade screwdriver that I use. Or, you know, if you've got a lot of tri-clamp fittings that you're using all the time, you can get a little stainless pegboards on Amazon for pretty inexpensively, and you can hang all of your tri-clamp fittings on there, or just keep them organized in a plastic bin and keep them under the table, you know, just the ones that you use. What I'll do with my fermenters, for example, is I'll just keep all of the bits and pieces for that fermenter inside of the fermenter and have it stored where I have to go. That way, when I'm ready to sanitize, I just bring out the fermenter, and then all the pieces are in it, and they're not all covered with dust because they've been inside of the fermenter. On my sink, I just have a small shelf above it that I keep every piece of, you know, PBW, Star San, Barkeeper's Friend, you know, detergent, spray bottles with Star San, and even just plain water, you know, distilled water. So, you know, every little, you know, piece, just think, where am I using it, and have it hanging there.
Well, John, we've covered most of the major topics, but do you have any closing tips on sort of creating the perfect home brewery?
What I really just want to, you know, re-highlight is spend the time planning in detail. Don't jump in and wing it. You know, find the perfect spot in your area based on the infrastructure, and then lay it out and plan it in detail. And remember, a brewing space that's too big is going to be very frustrating to use. And, you know, having those things closer together makes it a lot more efficient. Don't clutter it up. You know, just focus on less is more. You know, what are the bare minimum things that I need in that brewing area? And then move everything else that you have to a different storage area so that it's just not in your way. Those are really the key things there. And then, I can't stress the safety aspects enough.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking with us.
All right. I appreciate it. Always enjoy sharing the my experience. And like I say, experience is knowing a lot of things that don't work. So, I've tried a lot of things, and it's great to be able to share that with everyone. So,
and my guest today was John Blickman, the president and founder of Blickman Engineering. Thanks again, John.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
A big thank you to John Blickman for joining me this week. Thanks also to Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. They offer access to videos, brewing courses, exclusive articles, and the amazing Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. Go to beerandbrewing.com to get your subscription today. And also the Brew Commander, the brewhouse controller from Blickman Engineering. It's available in electric and gas propane models. The patent-pending Brew Commander is a high-quality brewhouse controller that offers automated step mashing, boil timers, precision temperature control, and advanced settings. Command your brew day with the new Brew Commander. To order yours today, visit blickmanengineering.com. Again, that's blickmanengineering.com. And finally, I'm happy to say the web-based version of Beersmith is available at beersmithrecipes.com. Beersmith for the web lets you build, edit, and brew recipes from any browser, including your desktop, your tablet, or your mobile device. You can try Beersmith Web for 30 days by setting up an account at beersmithrecipes.com. If you have a gold, platinum, or pro license, you get both Beersmith Web and the desktop version for one low price. Check out beersmithrecipes.com to give it a try today. I'd like to thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great brewing week.